Welcome to a brand new season of the Sound of Football podcast, our 10th season. My name is Graham Sibley, and I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And usually we'd be joined by Terry DeFellin as well.
We would.
But he's not here this week. He's on his holidays still. Pre-season, it just means nothing to some people. But he will be along later, Terry fans, so keep your ears peeled, because he will be on the show later, don't worry. But Jan, what a great summer of non-football it's been.
It's been pretty busy on the football front, actually, all summer, hasn't it?
Yes.
There's all sorts of stuff been happening. But actually, it does feel like it's been a good break since the World Cup. It feels like it's been a long time, but it's only been a few weeks, really, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think, though, in Britain, though, where we are, it's because it's been so damn hot. Mind you, it's been hot all over the world, isn't it? The world is on fire.
It is melting.
Yeah. So everyone's just melted and forgotten about football. Yeah. And now, this week, people have started playing football again for some reason, and I don't know why. In this heat, it's bizarre.
Mad fools.
Yeah, everyone's just getting ready for Qatar 2022, aren't they?
Yeah, it's good pre-World Cup training for that, yeah, because yeah, you've got to be able to survive 50-degree heat, and we're pretty close to that here, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, it is. It is pretty oppressive. But hey, football started. Football started already for you, isn't it?
It started on Saturday.
Saturday morning.
I know,
yeah,
I know.
Friday night, if you're a Derby fan as well.
It was a pretty good start as well.
Yeah,
which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, first home win you've had at the start of a season since when?
2009. And for Stats fans, Darren Bent scored that day against Bolton.
Out of contract, Darren Bent, I think, at the moment. So
that makes my heart bleed. Man, he was hawking himself around Sky for the coverage of the Sunderland Charlton game.
So, was he?
Yeah, he was in the studio with his uninteresting views. Cold takes.
We love a few cold takes. This is the perfect home for cold takes.
Yeah, he'd fit in perfectly here.
Yeah, I think he probably would. If you've not listened to The Sound of Football before, which is possible, you know, we've only done 340-odd of these podcasts, only been around for the last 9 seasons. But if you haven't, thanks for coming along, and thanks for checking us out. What we normally do, half an hour every week, we usually just pick on something to talk about and just run with it.
Yeah,
we don't tend to go with reviewing past results because, you know, you're better served with that elsewhere, aren't you, really? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll normally find something that is sticking in people's craws and picking the bones apart for it. I mean, that's what we usually do. So, as I say, welcome along. If you're an old hand, well, you know what to expect out the next half hour and the next 30-odd episodes that are going to come out in this, our 10th season. Our 10th season. Now, Jan, of course, you're still a newcomer.
I'm just a child, yeah.
This is only your 7th season on this podcast, isn't it?
No, it's unbelievable. And then when you said, in the next 30-odd episodes, I have to admit, a little bit of me died.
It's all up to you.
But I'll keep going till 10. Definitely keep going till 10.
But hey, it's not just going to be us two this week, because we do have some special guests.
We do.
And I've already hinted at that, hasn't it? Because Terry is going to be coming on, and he's coming on and he's interviewing a very special guest, very special friend of the show, who will be talking about Fulham. I don't know if that gives anything away. But first, we're going to talk about fantasy football, because that's what this time of year in football, it's what a lot of people concentrate on, isn't it? This is all part of the excitement of a new season, all getting ready. And one of your mates starts off a WhatsApp group saying, fantasy football, here's my code, come and join my league.
Yep.
And yeah, you just do it, don't you? You just think you just fall for that old 5-card trick again, don't you?
It's every time.
You do it, don't you? I don't.
I do it, and I follow it through. We've got a league at work, and I work for quite a large company, so there's about 70-odd people that jump in. And I'd say the majority of them keep it up for the full season, so I finished 14th out of 75.
See, that's not bad going.
That's all right,
isn't
it?
That's top 20%.
Yeah,
Yeah, I mean, if anything in life, you want to be in the top 20%.
Well,
you?
I'd like to aim for that. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Top going for the top 1%. That's just a bit too needy, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't want to be in the 1%.
No. You don't want to be really. That. You don't want to be that guy, do you?
You don't, certainly don't want to be that guy.
I have a problem with fantasy football, and I love the idea of it. I love the concept of it, but I know that I will put a team together. And I'll craft it, and I'll think, I know a fair bit about this game of soccer, don't I? And so I lovingly craft a team, and then that's what I do with it. I just happily forget it. I even download the app, and I never open it.
I think that's the thing with fantasy football. You have to, that first thing you put together, you're like, that's it. My work here is done. I'll see you in May to pick up my winnings. But the reality is that you can't get. That's the worst mistake to make, and you have to see it as an evolution across the season.
I might be in luck though.
Why is that?
Well, because someone has thought of people like me, and they've come up with a game that I can play.
Really?
Yeah. And here to tell us about that is our first guest of the new season, Tom Victor.
Hi there. How you doing?
Very well, thank you. Yeah, Tom, I don't think you've met Jan, have you?
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, son. No, I don't think we have met. It's nice to meet you.
Terry and I have known Tom since the old days of Socrates, so it goes back a long way. He's never been on the show, which is a real oversight on our part, but no, I've cured that today, and he's on here now. Now, Tom, I've been telling Jan about my problem with fantasy football is that I create a team, and I just never do anything with it.
Yeah, no, that's a problem I share, a problem I think a lot of people share, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I do, but I think you've come up with the perfect solution, though, and I think you should tell everyone and get everyone involved in it. So come on, tell Jan all about what your brilliant idea is.
So first of all, I should probably give a bit of credit to a friend of mine, Hugh Davis, who came up with the idea in the first season. I've kind of inherited it from him. It's been going since the 13-14 season now, and it is a lowest points wins fantasy league. So kind of the premise... The premise is you have your budget, you have your 100 million budget, and whoever has the fewest points at the end of the season is crowned champion. But there were no other rules besides that. Everyone would just pick, the cheapest youth team, squad players, whatever, and have a team, come in at maybe 50 million way under budget. So to get around that, you've got to spend the full 100 million.
The full 100 million?
For your 15-man squad, yeah. So
not even 99.9. You've got to be dead on, yeah?
99.9 is a disqualification. Yeah, 400 million. I mean, some of the time that means you've got to gamble on who might not be starting. Some of the time you'll have players that are injured or players that, if you're lucky, you can get them as they're about to be sold.
Oh, brilliant. I suppose smart money is it sort of moving around Anthony Martial this year?
I think so, yeah. So the first season we did this was 13-14, where Gareth Bale left Spurs, I think, after the season started. So
sure.
Anyone who had him in their team, like the deadline for this is the opening game, so you can't change your team after the opening game. So anyone who gambled on Gareth Bale that season, they're on to a winner. This year, Martial is one who I have in my team. I think a lot of people are looking at long-term injury victims, people like Lanzini and Oxlade-Chamberlain.
And of course, Wilshere, who's going to be pulling on a West Ham shirt anytime soon.
I mean, yeah, it would be very strange to see Wilshere have a fully injury free season just as everyone's not on him for this.
Well, no, yeah, but that's exactly what Van Persie did when he went to Man U, though.
Yeah, no, very true. And I think, this season there are a couple of players who a week or two ago we were thinking, okay, they're on the way. So maybe put a bunch of your budget on Eden Hazard, Alvaro Morata. And now that would be quite a big risk. Cause I mean, there's every chance they're still there come August 10th.
Yeah, I mean, this actually is it's no different to normal fantasy football because this is really you're just using your knowledge of football to gain an advantage, aren't
you? Just flipping on its head, but yeah it's really interesting. I actually and I do this, Tom. I actually started kind of living in your world very quickly as you were talking there. I do this with fake World Cup draws and I start planning my holidays around them. But yeah, I was just going. Courtois didn't turn up for training today. I could whack him in straight in there. There's a load of money gone. Yeah.
So I've just got to get my head about this a bit more because I reckon that though that your conversations, your water cooler conversations, are going to be a bit like Oscar the Grouch. I mean, people are going to ask you, like, what sort of weekend did you have? And you're going to say, I had a terrible one. And it'll be that you've had a great one in terms of the game. I think it's that's the way that I think this is works. I think this is brilliant, and I'm going to get involved in this. I'm going to get involved in this at the expense of all other fantasy football leagues. I think. You're going to be torn, Jan, because you play to win, don't you?
I do, but I'm definitely going to win this one as well. Could I just ask? Do you use the same fantasy league infrastructure, official app?
It's the same platform, so you're going to need to like enter a second email address for that team.
Yeah.
But the benefit is once you pick your team for the opening game, that's it. You leave it for the rest of the season. So you don't have to remember a second login until May, and then you can figure that out when the moment comes. So pick your team, whatever you've got when the first game kicks off on Friday night, that is your team for the season, and change it as much as you want until then, but after that point, that's it.
Right. Okay. Well, what we'll do is if people want to, if you're not following Tom Victor already, do so. It's at Tom Victor. Beware, because he usually puts up some terrible, terribly funny jokes. All the time. Yeah. I'm sure your Twitter drafts at the moment are looking pretty hilarious, aren't they, for the new season?
I've got in trouble with friends for showing them some of my Twitter drafts, so I don't want to ruin any of this.
Okay.
There's some very specific ones that, you know, rely on something happening that isn't going to happen, but if it does.
Oh, if it does, you're going to be all across it. Okay, then, right. But it's not just fantasy football and puns on Twitter, is it, Tom? What else have you been working on recently?
I've been doing reaction pieces every Monday throughout the last season for Planet Football, and going to be doing that once more for 18-19.
Cool.
Obviously, the season hasn't started yet, but I went down the pre-season friendlies route. I did a piece on Henrik Mkhitaryan, and specifically his nutmeg against Lazio, because, I mean, it's boring to look at goals and assists and anything like that in the Premier League and in Europe at the moment. Just got to look at the moments that no one really cares about.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like, yeah.
That's right up our street.
And friendlies. Yeah. So I think I've hopefully found my niche with stuff like that. And so that's on Planet Football at the moment. Got a few more pieces the next few weeks, which... Now, if you get following me on Twitter, you'll be able to see I can't share too much about them just yet.
Okay.
That's where I'm at the moment.
You're also a bit of an expert on gambling as well. So what's the inside track on the good bets for this season?
Oh, wow. Put me on the spot here. I've been looking at, because, you know, I can't wait until the start of the Premier League season, I've been looking at Championship top scorer bets.
Oh, yeah.
And beyond the first two, it seems like there are a few each way options, quite a few players kind of 33-1 and longer. So I've been having a look at Mohamed Issa, who's just jumped up a couple of levels and is pretty long odds, but you know, he's scored every level he's played at and might be worth a cheeky each way punt. And you know, come back to me when he scores like 3 goals in 40 games this season. But
cool.
He's my guy.
How far do they go down on each way? Is that top four?
It is top four, yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, that's something you could look at if you pride yourself as a bit of an expert.
Mm.
Yeah, you might have a look at League One for that, Jan.
I might have to have a look at that.
Yeah. You see that there. Well, Tom, we're going to put the details of the league up on the post, and we'll also we'll also retweet your instructions for it as well. So if you are interested in getting involved, remember the season starts this weekend, so you've only got a couple of days. If you're listening to this on Saturday, well, you're too late. Too late. You should have downloaded it earlier. You can't hang around with the sound of football.
You can't. You've got to be on the notes.
You've got to be on it. I know. We're quite a long-tailed podcast usually, but you know. I mean, it's the start of the season. You should be eating this stuff up. Anyway, Tom, thanks a lot for coming on board. And we'll have to have you back on again sometime because it's been a lot of fun.
Yep. Thanks for having me on. Cheers.
That's okay, Tom. See you soon.
Cheers.
Well, it's lovely having Tom on board there, wasn't it?
It was very nice, yes. Yeah. Nice change to have some new faces, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Keeps you on toes, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, keeps me sharp.
Yeah, well, that's always what we're looking for here on The Sound of Football. Also on The Sound of Football, now, we usually mention this at the end of the podcast, because we usually get people to sign up to our newsletter. Now, our weekly newsletter is the Weekend Box Set. And what that basically is, it's our choice of the seven top games that are going to be on telly in the UK. And when I say in the UK, they're going to be on telly everywhere, but these are the ones that we'll be watching. So I usually pick one on Friday night, there's three on Saturday, and then I'll usually pick three on Sunday as well. So they don't overlap, usually, not or not by much. And we just usually say why you'd want to watch them.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch them, or do you?
You don't. No. And sometimes you don't get it right, and sometimes you do get it right.
Yeah. There were some good ones this weekend. Mm. I put the Sunderland game in there.
That was a cracker. It was a cracker.
Yeah. I missed out on the Derby game because I picked the Hamburg game instead. But that Hamburg lost 3-0 at home in their first game down in the second tier. So I thought that was actually worth picking. And I picked Gerrard's first game in charge of Rangers. Ooh, that was only a last-minute equaliser that turned that around. Right. Then they got a player sent off in the first 10 minutes. Loads and loads of interesting stuff. So what we try and do is we pick out these games and we have a talk about them. It's going to be a bit weird this season, though, because usually we had a load of Serie A games and a load of La Liga games to talk about. And they ain't going to be there, are they?
They're not, no. They've been consumed by the internet. Well, specifically by 11 Sports, who have managed to get the rights for both La Liga and Serie A. For the next couple of seasons, I think.
Yeah.
They'd certainly get it for more than a season, wouldn't they? But interestingly, I was reading just before I came to this recording that they are going to broadcast one game per week live on Facebook for free.
For free?
Including Ronaldo's first game for Juve.
Well, there's something there, isn't it?
Hmm. I'm not quite sure how they're going to make that work. I'd imagine there'd be tons of advertising surrounding it.
I presume that's only going to be in the UK as well.
I think it's just
because
UK,
otherwise, you know, you're going to be treading on other broadcasters' toes, aren't you? But certainly in the UK, that's quite interesting. Because I was only reading, they only announced it last week, what the package actually is. And I know we've got lots of listeners from outside the UK, so I'm not going to dwell too long on this. But for people in the UK, it's £5.99 a month. Or if you get in there early, you can get the whole year for £50. Yeah, it's more expense, isn't it, for those who had it as part of a package last year.
Yeah.
And people might say, oh, it's only 20p a day, but yeah, it's £6 a month and you've still got to find it somewhere, haven't you?
The cost of watching football in this country has been escalating
considerably
season after season. And the idea was, I suppose, that the more competition you had in the space, the cheaper it would get, and that just hasn't been the case.
No.
And now we have another expense to go after.
Mm. Mm. But interesting if they will be showing off a game on Facebook a week, you say?
One a week. That's
one
what
a week. Mm. Yeah. Well, we'll keep our eye on that, listeners, and we'll keep you apprised of all the information as we come by it. Now, I did say that Terry would be along on the podcast this week, and he kind of is. He's at a Star Trek convention in Vegas.
Okay.
That's because that's what he likes to do. Mm. You may not know this, but Terry and I do another podcast. We do a Star Trek podcast, and that comes out about once every couple of weeks. It's a little change of pace from The Sound of Football. You know, it's something we just like to do. We do it with a guy called Derek, and it's a lot of fun. But he's going off to conventions. I don't do that. I'm just more of an armchair Star Trek fan, really, rather than someone who actually turns up for the games. But I couldn't have him missing out on the first podcast, though. No. Couldn't do that. Couldn't let the first podcast go out without him being on it. So what I did was I asked him, I said, look, why don't you drop in an interview with someone? Find someone to talk to and we'll just drop it in. And so he phoned up a friend of the show, Archie Rintutt, who is on telly more than the news. And he said, yeah, sure, I'll come on board.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, because although Archie lives in Germany and he does a lot of the coverage for BT Sport, writes articles for The Independent and such. His first love is Fulham Football Club. So with them coming up into the Premier League, we thought, why not ask him about Fulham?
Mm.
And so here he is, talking to Terry.
Jean-Michel Seri is certainly the most eye-catching signing. What do you think he's going to bring to that Fulham side?
Yeah, sure. I mean, do you want me to record two versions where we signed Schürrle and where it's fallen through spectacularly?
Yeah, by all means. And he's moved to Crystal Palace instead.
Yeah, you can include this on the recording either way. I think that if you look at the way that Fulham have played under Slaviša Jokanović, then you see that
ball retention is the most important thing. In the Championship for the past two seasons, I think that no one has really played better football than Fulham. That doesn't mean that you have a right to win games, as a few Fulham fans might have got caught up in thinking. No, I think that having somebody like Jean-Michel Seri will always be a benefit to the side because he is that much better at keeping the ball than somebody like Stefan Johansson, who does have the shithouse quality to him when somebody gets away from him. You know that Stefan Johansson is going to bring him down somehow. There were a couple of occasions last season where I was like, you're probably lucky not to get a red card there. But Johansson himself, albeit has had his ups and downs, is also a good player. I think he will become a good squad player, for example. But the most important thing for Fulham is that midfield triumvirate that you have in the middle of Kevin McDonald, Tom Cairney, who I think is the star, and Stefan Johansson. I would expect Johansson to be replaced by Seri. But as much as Tom Cairney gets all the headlines, I think that Kevin McDonald is a more important figure because he's right at the base of that midfield. He is very physically strong and sets the tempo as well. Tom Cairney's problem has been that he likes to try and do too much of a Hollywood ball sometimes instead of just playing the simple pass, which is the instinctive one. And I think he can kind of come into a few problems there. I'm intrigued to see how he takes the challenge to the Premier League now because it's more likely that he'd want to maybe show that Hollywood pass, but the simpler he keeps things, the better a player that he is. So I think that Seri is a fantastic addition, but I also don't think it's lost on either the club nor fans that in an ideal scenario, Seri will be at the club for 2 years, if it goes very well, one, before moving on because, yeah, he's in his late 20s. And when you weren't able to get your dream move to Barcelona last summer and that fell through at the last moment, then, yeah, you're kidding yourself if your next step is then like, I'll go to Fulham. So, a fantastic coup for the club, I think. It looks like, anyway.
Presumably, you're squeezing Ryan Sessegnon in there somewhere as well. How do you see Schürrle fitting into that midfield or attack? Do you think they'll play him as a striker?
I can't see them using him as a striker necessarily because Jurkanović has preferred to have a player in that striker role who can play with his back to goal and be able to set up chances for his teammates. His main job as a striker is not necessarily actually scoring goals. And you can see that by the fact, partly, that Ryan Sessegnon was the top scorer last season. But also, even in the season before, I mean, Chris Martin wasn't particularly prolific. And I think he actually managed to just piss off more Fulham fans more than anything when he tried to go back to Derby County. Although that in itself gave a great moment in that Slavisa Jurkanović came out and said, he's not going, we are not a train station. Which now I think is one of the kind of classic all-time Fulham quotes. I think that André Schürrle is not kind of suited to that kind of role. I think that Schürrle will fit in, to actually answer your question, on the right-hand side or on the left-hand side. I think those spots will be taken by Sessegnon and Schürrle. He will start, and I think he'll benefit from lower expectations than at Borussia Dortmund and a place where he is very much first choice. Aboubakar Kamara is not as technically skilled as Schürrle. I know that Borussia Dortmund fans would say, well, hang on, have you seen Schürrle's first touch or whatever? But I would challenge them, have they seen Aboubakar Kamara's first touch?
Yeah, no, I think it's all relative.
He's a very physical presence and exceedingly quick. He's quicker than Schürrle for sure. I would say this means the end for Floyd Ayite out on the right-hand side. I can't see him staying much longer at Fulham.
Are you confident Mitrovic is going to be able to score and create enough chances for this season, or would you like to see a little bit more up front?
If he can hit double figures for the season, that might well be enough because of the way that Fulham play. It is not solely on the main striker to score. That is just not how things have worked in the past season or so. I remember when Fulham sold Moussa Dembélé and Ross McCormack 2 years ago, and people were predicting that Fulham were going to get relegated, when actually it just made sense because it was playing much more in terms of to a team system. And I think that the difficulty is that Fulham have made a thing of dominating the ball against opponents. No one's had more possession than Fulham in the Championship for the past two seasons. And you're quite simply not going to be able to do that against Manchester City. But I think that Fulham will be able to surprise a couple of teams. And whilst they are going to probably get a 5-0 hammering at some point if they continue to try and play so open. I don't see it, it's quite a similar style, I think, to what Frank de Boer was going to try with or tried even with Crystal Palace. However, I think that the advantage that Fulham have is that they have been playing this way for 2 years. They will need to adapt it in some way. They will need to compromise on the system at some point, because otherwise, yeah, they will get thrashed and just hit by sides on the break in kind of rhythmic fashion. But yeah, in terms of where I see the season going, would say I would either say it'll be somewhere around the top half or, yeah, kind of a very certain relegation. I can't really see the certain relegation, just because I think that they will benefit from more sides trying to play football in the Premier League than I think were doing so in the Championship. I think that a lot of sides just took a very physical approach. I think one of the best games of the season actually could be Fulham against Bournemouth, just because of how both sides will look to try and outplay each other. Some people will probably look at us for that, Terry, and go, that's a very hipster point of view. But I honestly just think in terms of the quality of football, that, yeah, that could be quite a prospect.
That is one of the most blistering hipster takes I've ever heard, in my life. And I've been around for a very long time. So congratulations on that. You've answered my question, my next question, which was your hopes and expectations, really, for the season ahead. Obviously, you don't feel that Fulham are going to be relegated. So I will ask you one more question, however, and sure. I think he deserves a question on his own, and that is, of course, Ryan Sessegnon. Anyone, not just Fulham fans, but England fans, will be looking at this young man's career in the next 12 months with a great deal of interest. First of all, just relay to our listeners the extent of this boy's talent, and just perhaps give us an indication as to how well you'll think he'll do in the Premier League this forthcoming season.
I have to be honest, I'm not entirely sure how the season is going to go for him. I would say if he takes the same approach as he has done in the Championship, then it will be a successful season for him, which I think would be similar to Mitrovic if he was able to hit double figures in terms of goals, for example. He will be starting every week. In terms of his talents, I think that the way I've heard people talk about Ryan Sessegnon, it implies that you're looking at some sort of dribbling king who is just kind of skinning his opponents left, right and centre, which isn't true. The best thing he has going for him is his intelligence within the game. He just knows where to be at the right time. Maybe sometimes he doesn't take on his opponent enough. He doesn't back himself in terms of maybe his speed, which he does have. So often you see with wide players, young wide players in that kind of position, they maybe back themselves a little bit too much to go down the outside and beat their defender every time. Whereas what Sessegnon does is he would always probably rather pass the ball and then move, which I think defenders don't quite know where to stand with it, because they want to try and prevent that at the same time, but don't want to be beaten down the outside or indeed down the inside. So I think he's been playing a little bit more in terms of on the right-hand side a little bit in pre-season. I wonder if Jokanović is thinking of trying to change things up in terms of that, just give himself another option in terms of Fulham used, inverted wingers. Quite a lot under Roy Hodgson, for example. I mean, this is a completely different side to Roy Hodgson. And with respect, they are actually trying to play a little bit more football, because it used to be down the channels with Roy, two banks of four. It was a glorious watch, but it wasn't quite the ambitious style of play that Jokanović is trying. But I would say, with Sessegnon, just how level-headed he seems. I went to a Fulham Supporters Trust meeting in May, the week before the playoff final. And I remember the excitement with which the chief executive, Alistair McIntosh, was talking about just how down to earth he was, how he one night, after he'd had to do a doping test, he took his own kit home and washed it. Those little things that kind of give an indication of what kind of a character he is. And I think so long as he's able to stay himself within that Premier League environment where the interest in him is going to rise, so too will the hype. If he has two or three good games in a row, then he'll be linked with a £100 million move with Manchester United. If I'm being honest, I think that would be getting him on the cheap right now. But I would say that because I would like the whole Craven Cottage renovation to be financed on him. But yeah, he's an incredible talent, but still with a fair amount to go, which I think is the most exciting thing for Fulham fans.
Well, you could always get a cut price loan deal with Ousmane Dembele for Barcelona, couldn't you?
Dembele la frappe!
I wouldn't be against that. I mean, to be honest, if Fulham is selling him for 50 million plus, then I think he deserves a stand named after him. Given what they had to endure through the relegation with Felix Magath, because it wasn't just a relegation, it was a humiliation. It was a humiliation in terms of not only did it have kind of a manager at the helm who was awful, it was somebody who was really tearing it in terms of the club's values and kind of everything that it stood for, the way that Breda Hangland was let go with just a couple of Alina statements. Had the fortune to speak to Breda Hangland. He said himself that that wasn't very Fulhamish. In hindsight, that has been a very important phase for the club because it's kind of allowed people to go, okay, this is exactly what we are not. And it's given a chance to try and write some sort of new identity. Don't get me wrong, I don't think Fulham fans are now going the Fulham way in the same way of that I hear West Ham fans talking about their club. But I think that there is a lot of realism in terms of staying up would be a good season. And I think that maybe with the Europa League thing, I hope there's just a realisation that of what can happen when you fly too close to the sun. Because in all honesty, where is a club like Fulham going to go after you reach the Europa League final? You're not going to break into the top six regularly unless you're buying and thinking extremely frugally and being very clever with it. So, yeah, I'm intrigued to see what Fulham will do this season. They're spending more money than ever before. That's not necessarily worked out in club history. Steve Marley, example number one. Kostas Mitroglou, example number two. I could go on. But yeah, I think it's a quietly exciting time to be a Fulham fan.
Fulham, of all of the London clubs, are probably the least offensive, I would say, and has a large number of interested followers, although probably not that interested, I suppose. But but you're not hated, I suppose, is the thing about Fulham, isn't it? They're a friendly club. They're the club you go to when your team's away, or at least they were when I used to go to Palace every week. I go to Fulham if they were at home and Palace were away.
One thing that I have to say, which has been disappointing to see actually in the close season, was the way that the club hammered up the season ticket prices for those who hadn't renewed in terms of with this whole early bird deal, which I think sets a worrying precedent in terms of the type of fan that they are trying to encourage to come to the club. Because if you're just hammering up the ticket prices like that when you've just reached the Premier League, you're basically encouraging a kind of fan who is only there for the good times. Whilst, yeah, I think that Fulham is a nice day out for other club fans, for example, it does strike it maybe a bit of a problem for the club in as much as you need a core, you need a hardcore base of fans there who are going to be there through the leaner times. And I can tell you from seeing the attendances and in terms of going to some of the games in that first season after relegation to the Premier League, it felt like a very hollow place to be. So I think there needs to be a little bit more long-term thinking in that regard from the club. But look, I'm paying over the odds to go to Fulham Crystal Palace on the opening day. But no, I think it's important that, particularly with Chelsea being just down the road as well, you don't want to become a mini Chelsea. One of the things I value most, even before the playoff final, was my cousin, actually, who's a Chelsea fan. And he was going to me after the semi-final against Derby in the playoffs. He actually went along to that. I mean, proving your point there, Terry. That Fulham is a nice day out for London fans. But I just remember him going, like, his eyes were wide open, like, we just do not have an atmosphere like that at Stamford Bridge. And that is, for me, exactly what you want to be aiming for. Not to try and be, I think, Chelsea light in terms of trying to rip off your fans in the same way. And to be honest, I sympathise with Chelsea fans as well, because by charging that amount, you just are not going to have that kind of atmosphere. Maybe my time in Germany has shaped me in that kind of way, but I really think that that has to be the most important thing that you aim for.
Let's hope then that any attempts to gentrify the club fail and that there continues to be a great atmosphere at Craven Cottage, particularly in this return to the Premier League.
I'm not sure that Fulham fans could ever claim a great atmosphere the whole time. I think that would be pushing it. I much prefer Crystal Palace in terms of actually a consistent atmosphere. On the good days, yes, a great atmosphere. I'll agree with you there.
Well, hopefully you'll enjoy the atmosphere at Crystal Palace, despite the fact that the goals will be raining in from Christian Benteke and Wilf Zaha. And what I'll do is I'll edit out the bit that says Wilf Zaha and replace him with another player in the event that Wilf Zaha has moved on by the time this interview goes out. But I'll just read out a whole list of potential names, none of them being as good as Wilf Zaha. Why don't we leave it there, Archie, with my great thanks and thanks on behalf of the team at The Sound of Football. It is great finally to have you on The Sound of Football, and hopefully a little later on in the year we'll be able to get you back so you can have a chat about your day job, which is the German Bundesliga.
Absolutely.
Well, that was interesting, wasn't it?
It was very interesting.
Yeah, I like what you had to say about Ryan Sessegnon. I thought that was good. I think he should stay at Fulham. I think he's well suited for that club.
Yeah, it'd be really good to see him do well there.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, far better than seeing him do mediocre at Tottenham. I wouldn't want to see that.
Yeah, or just to go and rot in some of the team's reserves.
No, that certainly isn't going to happen to him. So, yes, thanks a lot for Archie for that. And we'll try and get him on properly at some point as well to talk all about German football at some point, as Terry explained earlier. Right then. Well, I think that's probably all we've got time for this week, because we've actually managed to fit a lot into our first one of the season.
It's been a busy one, hasn't it?
It certainly has. Well, it's been a hot day as well. So that never really helps, does it? Sunderland are playing again this weekend, aren't they? They've got Luton, haven't they?
They've got Luton away, which I was unable to get tickets for. They sold out nearly 3 weeks ago.
That's relatively local to us, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
A lot more local than Sunderland is.
It is, yeah, but there seems to be the hordes are descending south, and we'll be arriving in Luton and hopefully for back-to-back wins.
Well, hey, that just means you can go to Leaf instead, doesn't it?
International football, the Leaf, isn't it?
It is, Guernsey
this weekend, isn't it?
Guernsey this weekend, Guernsey this weekend. We've got a league match. A lot of other teams around the same level as Whiteleaf are embarking on the Cup.
The Cup
starts this weekend, the extra preliminary round. If you are in England and you are near a non-league ground, then you really should try and get along for some FA Cup action. You don't have to make a tinfoil FA Cup, but it helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't do it, you're not trying hard
enough, really. But go grab a bit of non-league FA Cup action. Get there before the BBC turn up. Just say you were there from day one.
Yeah.
But that's it for this week. Don't forget to subscribe to the weekend box set. You've got to go to tinyletter.com/soundoffootball and you'll get all our hot takes of the matches coming up this weekend. But from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton, from Terry DeFillon, Tom Victor, and from Osher Mutter, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
When you turn those things... Oh, something changed in my ears there.
Yeah,
that's quite a masculine voice I've got, which I didn't notice until a few minutes ago. In my head, it's quite feminine.
Yeah, it's amazing what these little knobs do. I can just manify you.
You can man me up.
Yeah.
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 And please, someone can.